Jesus. Amen. I love to praise His name. Glory to God. You ever been driving down the road and just you and the Lord, and all of a sudden He decides that He wants to dwell amongst the praises of His people, and so He just sits right by you in the car, and you have a little time of worship on your own. I love that. I've been there before, walking down the hall of a public school, Sister Norma, and just start singing to the Lord with myself, and the Lord just come by in the middle of that hallway, and when you really love to praise the Lord, it really doesn't matter where you are, because He's there with you, and so He just wants you to praise Him. Amen. And some are musically inclined and others are not, but that's all right. He said He appreciates a joyful noise, right? We should make a joyful noise to the Lord. He didn't say it had to sound good. It just had to be joyful. And so that gets everybody involved. And whether you're a soloist or not, that's all right. You still get to worship the Lord for yourself. And I appreciate that. You know, God doesn't really ask a whole lot out of us. You ever think about that? Of all the things and requirements that He could put before us to allow us to get to where He's at. And all He said was, you just got to come in faith. Enter in boldly into the throne room of grace. Aren't you thankful that the Lord allows us to come into His presence? And we don't have to have an altar up here to sacrifice a ram or a bull or a goat or turtle doves or pigeons or whatever it was that, we don't have to do that anymore. He's given us access by His blood. Amen. And tonight, I'm thankful that the Lord is here. And I think I just swallowed a gnat. Excuse me one second. Well, that'll throw you off. Amen. Get behind me, Satan. Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Galatians chapter 6. I have never had that happen before, so I'm glad we got to experience that together. Amen. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Praise the Lord. I want to preach tonight to us on the way past weary. The way past weary. And before we get there, I do want to say thank you so much for your love offering tonight. Pray the Lord really bless you. And I, Sister Sarah and I are very appreciative of it. And this has been the craziest little season in the last few weeks. And I won't tell you which one of our kids said it. It probably is not going to be hard to figure out. We were eating dinner Saturday night. My in-laws were there. And my mother-in-law and Sarah's grandma have been a tremendous help over the last two or three weeks. We were eating dinner, and one of our kids looked at my mother-in-law and said, "Grandma, when do you have to go home?" And she said, "We got to go home tonight, baby." He said, "Good, I'm ready for things to get back to normal around here." He said, "I want my bed back." I won't tell you which one said it, but my mouth dropped open, man. I could not believe it. But in some ways, you know, we are ready for things to get back to normal. I have loved being in the house of the Lord today and to be with God's people. And we missed being at Camp Dove. I cannot express to you how much we missed being apart. But Brother Aaron asked a great question. He said, "Would you rather miss the best year ever or be at the worst year ever?" I said, "Man, I've been before at bad years. I'd rather it be the best year ever and know we don't have to worry about nothing, you know, no issue, just have a great year." And from all the reports, I'm getting kids' examples, but just a fantastic season. And that's what I really want to focus on tonight, is realizing that our church, as a collective body, we can see greatness again. You know, that's a real divisive statement right now, make America great again, and whether or not you fall on that political side would, you know, but I really believe the church is great, has been great, will be great, and is going to continue to be great. And I want to be a part of what God is doing in the last days. And a church that is ministering is a church that is going to experience seasons of highs and also seasons of lows. Because ministry is not easy. And it would be very easy to just say, you know, let's put in cruise control and have a great time with very little effort. But any situation or any church that decides to engage in warfare spiritually, they are going to feel the pressure of the enemy. They're going to sense seasons of attack. They're going to recognize moments when it's not just perfect. But I really believe that God is able to carry us past weariness and into a fresh season of harvest so that we see the fruits of our labor. Amen. That's what I'm preaching tonight. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. One verse, familiar, but I believe in the Lord is going to help us tonight. Can we read this together? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now I want to read this, how this is applied today, and I really want to make the emphasis here. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I have been guilty of reading it that way. I have been guilty of quoting it that way, and I have quoted it to myself that way. And I believe that that's probably okay, but I want us to notice the emphasis that the Apostle Paul puts to the Galatian church. Let us, we. This is a body thing. And individuals may face times of crisis, but I'm telling you, God's church is going to go on together. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I appreciate you reading that with me. Let us not be weary. Oh, if that were if it was just as easy as that, you know, wouldn't life be grand? Let's not be anxious over those bills. Let's not be weary over a situation. Let's not, battle in this season. Let us not be weary. That term weary, it literally talks about that faint of heart, that lost feeling, that drop in your spirit where you just, the wind is knocked out of you. Let's not be weary. Now also is important to note tonight that he said, let us not be weary in well-doing. Now if you are not doing well, if you are not living right, if you are not serving God, if there is anything in our walk that separates us from Him, it is to be expected that our spirits will suffer with anxiety, with an up and down emotional life. It is to be expected, if we are not walking in communion with God, for our spirit to not be settled. The Bible said that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, driven by the wind, like, you know, sadly, like the reference we saw this past week, how a storm can pop up and a vessel that was not prepared for that damage to happen was sunk and lives were lost because it was in a place it should not have been. And we've got individuals whose lives are in places they should not be, and they're not prepared when the storm hits and devastation happens. However, if we are doing well, if we're doing all we can to serve the Lord, if you're faithful, if you're doing your part, and I've come to tell you tonight, God has got a way that He'll carry you past the weariness. You know, the weariness that mankind, that we see all around us now, that's why people are so heavily medicated today and self-medicating, because they're so anxious and they're filled with worry and they're filled with discouragement and they're filled with all sorts of stuff, is because their life is not in peace with God. Right? I mean, think about how your life was before you surrendered to God. I know how I was. I was a wreck in my mind and in my emotions because we weren't walking with God. there's something wrong here. The spirit recognizes that it's not right. But what about those that are doing right? What about the Sunday school teacher that's been faithful to their post for years, but they're in a season of discouragement, a slump, if you will? What about them? What about pastors who man their post and are shepherds and yet understand the burden that they carry is great and the heaviness is real? What about parishioners who may not have a title, but you sure are faithful? And people notice when you're not there, and your faithfulness is a ministry all in itself, but you find yourself in a discouraging hour. What about them? Has the Lord forgotten us in the midst of our labor? Absolutely not. It's the reality that His ministers are in the midst of working, and labor is not easy. I want to tell us tonight, first of all, we've all got a ministry. You have a ministry tonight. Now, I want to see hands raised right now if you have never sang a solo in your life at church. I'm not going to ask you to sing. You've never sang a solo. Wow! I'm going to change my mind. I think I might. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You know, for some, that would be the most terrifying experience of your life. You don't want to hold the microphone. You don't want to stand up here on the platform. You don't want to look out at everybody looking back at you. That's not your thing. But if somebody says, if pastor comes to you or you hear, you know, that there's a need and there's work to be done and there's cookies to be baked and chicken to be made and pizzas to be prepped and there's sticks to be cut up and burned and there's work, you know, you're ready to jump in. Is that not a ministry? You see, we have boxed in ministry to just several things. Do I have a title? Am I on the platform? Do I play an instrument? And if I don't qualify in these three areas, somehow I must not be a minister. Can I tell you that that is a lie from the pits of hell? Everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, God has called you and ordained you to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot all do the same thing. And I'm thankful tonight that there are people that are able to do what I cannot and that are able to do what others cannot. And maybe you're not able to do what others can, but thank God He has built the body of Christ to be able to do together what we could never do on our own. I'm so glad we've got good musicians. And I really wish I could play. But there's limitations there, right? And I'm really glad we have men that are construction minded. I marvel at that. My mind doesn't work that way, you know, and I wish it did. I just don't. But when I get excited about talking about, you know, being in a surgery room and interpreting and there's blood and all that stuff and it gets me, woo, you know, and other people are like, oh, no, I don't even, you know, it's just different. You know, if we had to ask some of you to sleep on a cot in a camp for a week, you may not come back, you know, It's a calling. You gotta have some anointing to sleep in those cots. You're like a human burrito. It's awful. But praise the Lord, you know, you just go. Everybody's got a job to do. That's what Paul's saying here. He's like, let us not be weary. I mean, Paul faced some crazy hardships, insurmountable opposition. And yet here he's telling all of the church of Galatia, together, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Stay faithful. Do your part. You know, do what you are called to do. Do what you are gifted in. You know, it's amazing to me that the areas of the church that I literally, I try to wrap my mind about how they're able to get things done a certain way, and yet I marvel, thank God, that He's got people to do it. Because if it was all left up to me, we'd be in a heap of mess. But yet God has called everybody in this room to be a minister. What does it mean to be a minister? It's simple. Service. We are servants of Jesus Christ. And the ministry is all about recognizing what He has done in our lives, and we want to do that for others. We want them to know what it's like to be born again. All of us have a ministry. Secondly, ministry can be messy. If you don't know this, you will at some point in your life. Ministry can be messy. We work with people. Somebody told me one time, he said, I don't go to church anymore. There's too many hypocrites there. I said, you have no problem going to the bar. Come on, somebody. There's no hypocrites at the bar. Why do you think it's dark? Right? Why do you think it's dark? Because they don't want everybody to know what they really look like. They don't want people to remember, you know, everything that goes on there. I mean, if hypocrisy in a church is what is holding you back, my friend, I would encourage you to take an evaluation of your life. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're probably right. There are hypocrites in the church sometimes. Come on, y'all, come on. That is the truth. There are people that put on appearances in a church sometimes. But thank God He knows that every one of us were fallen, and every one of us had hang-ups, and every person in this room had issues that God needed to work out. Thank the Lord, He's given us a sanctuary so people like me could come and get my life turned around. I thank God every day for the church, because had it not been for this place, where would I be? You're not going to find a perfect place. There are going to be people that rub you the wrong way. There are going to be different personalities. There are going to be issues. But God has called us to come together to do the work for the kingdom so that we can see people helped. Man, I tell you, I'd sure hate for this whole church to be just like me. Huh? I'd annoy myself. Right? Come on, don't amen that one. Save that, Aaron. Aaron told me he had two amens to give me tonight. I don't want to use it on that one. What would this church be like if it was all you? Huh? I mean, if every ministry had your attitude, where would we be? If every song had to be played how you'd play it, and every invitation to the lost was given by how you give it, where would we be? Does it not make you thankful all of a sudden that there's others around us, that God is helping us? We're all going to go together. Amen. Every time I see somebody here in the church working, you know, living here at the parsonage, you get a different perspective. Anytime somebody pulls in, my kids are like hawks. They're spying on you. I hope you know that. They are watching every move you make. Who's here? Why are they here? And when can I go hang out with them? Look, they don't want you there right now. All right? Maybe you do. I don't know. If you do, let me know. But anyway, but the reality is there's people here all the time doing something for the kingdom of God. And many times people don't see it, but there's a few eyes that see it. And they're watching every time a door's being painted, or something's being decorated, or music's being tuned and practiced, puppets are being practiced. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's got a part. And ministry's messy sometimes. There's discouraging seasons when things don't happen like we thought they would. There's also discouraging seasons when things are happening like we didn't think they would. There's difficult circumstances when tragedy strikes, when finances are low, or when health wanes. Life's not always glorious and grand. There's dreaded situations that happen in the church. When people's pride is wounded, there's betrayal. People get hurt. In those situations, nobody wants to be a part of that. You know, I tell my friends all the time, and I'm thankful, I've got a great support group. And Brother Kenneth and Brother Tim and Brother Jared Davis and others, even especially in this church, other men who I can talk to. But there are moments that I tell them, I don't know how to handle this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't give you a manual on every bad thing that happens in our lives. They certainly didn't give us a manual for our children, you know. And if they gave you one, would you print me a copy? You know, they don't give you a manual for how to handle everything in your home. Or every time a question's asked in Sunday school, teachers, and you have no idea how to answer. You're like, I never thought of that before. I'm going to have to go study now. You know, I feel like a buffoon, you know. I mean, they don't tell you everything. And yet the Lord has promised, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You don't have to know. I text Pastor today about a Greek word because, number one, I don't know Greek, and number two, he does. And so that's where you go. You don't have to know everything that Brother Hurst knows. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. What you have been placed in is what God is going to hold you accountable to. And the situations that we encounter as a church, we must remember we're going to make it if we hold on to two principles. Number one, it's all about Jesus. And number two, it's all about His Word. And if we're going to get past the weariness, we're going to have to rely upon Christ for our foundation. Amen. You know, I love to think that we're not just spinning our wheels. There's a point to this. You know, there's a point to coming into the nursery, ladies, whoever's there. What a ministry. Oh, I love you guys. Hey, man, I forgot Eden today. It's the first Sunday with four kids. We have four now. And so left her in there. You know, thank you, ladies, for staying. What a ministry. Hey, man, what a ministry. We need one another. Ministry's messy, but it gets so much messier when our pride gets involved. It gets so much messier when our emotions get involved. It gets messier when we as humanity try to take control. Can I tell us tonight, in the midst of ministry that is weary, can I encourage us to turn back to the Lord in those situations and call upon Him for our help and for our direction? Lastly tonight, ministry matters. Your ministry matters. Your service is important. Bible said, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What is that crop? What is that ministry? What is that harvest we're looking for? Anybody? What is it? It's souls. It's not who has the right choice for what we're eating tonight. It's not who is making you know, who gets the front seat in the church van. I like to use that a lot. That's a big thing in our youth group, you know. Who gets the best seat in the van? Nobody wants to be in the back. Praise the Lord, Brother Stephen. You are a great man. Brother Stephen's like, I'll take the back every time. He's just right back there, man. And what a ministry. Thank you, brother. It's not about us. It's about the souls that God has entrusted to us. And church, I don't want to miss out on this harvest. I don't want to miss out on the children that God wants to save through your ministry. I don't want our church to miss out on the impact that can be made in our public high schools by our teenagers. I don't want to miss out on the impact that our adults can have in their jobs and in their homes and with their families. Your ministry matters. It matters because we're working in the field of souls. One of these days, Brother John, the Lord of the harvest is going to come back. May we never forget He is taking an account of what we have done with what He has given us. Your ministry is important. You know, tonight, if you are in the ministry of just greeting folks, you have got a great ministry. If you're in the ministry, you know, I'm going to brag on some folks now just because I can. I'm up here. Sister Beth, you have a tremendous ministry. We as young parents could not make it without you. I mean that. Y'all ever realize we are much easier at critiquing people than we are complimenting folks? Brother Dan, Emma noticed this week that the metal railing and doors were painted. She said, "That looks great. Thank you for painting in the midst of like 100 degree heat." It was hot that day. I know it was. "Thank you. Thank you for keeping our vans ready to go at a moment's notice. Thank you, Brother Danny, for keeping these grounds in excellent shape. I'm telling you, brother, you do a great job." Wouldn't it just be better, church, if we got into the habit of ministering to those around us instead of killing those around us? My God, help us. Wouldn't it be great? Brother Jerry, I needed men's ministry last night. It was awesome. Thank you. It was encouraging. Brother Bill, your testimony last night encouraged me about growing up in this church and how the Lord, you've seen God bring, it encouraged me, bringing in people. Brother Brock, you're the best mayor I know. Amen. And my brother-in-law's a mayor, and I still think you're the best. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for teaching me how to put money in my wallet in order, and teaching me how to save, and teaching me how to pay my bills. Amen. Thank you. Y'all, I can go on. We got time if you want. Maybe you don't. I don't know. I'm just telling you, church. Paul knew what he was talking about. The Holy Spirit wasn't messed up. If we're going to make it past these seasons of weariness, we're going to do it together, because your ministry is important. Every one of our Sunday school teachers that are faithful, oh, thank you. Your ministry is important. Every one of our musicians that put in time and energy, thank you. The Bible said that we are going to reap if we faint not. The only reason you faint is because you've put out so much. You've not taken time to make sure you're okay. I've seen a lot of people who have been burnt on both ends because they're not making sure they're ministering, they're working in the kingdom. But why are you working in the kingdom? If you're here just to work, you've missed the whole point. Jesus wants you to enjoy this season of work. And I will tell you personally, in those moments when you feel like you're going to faint, I've learned the best thing you can do is talk to your Savior honestly. Brother Hurst told me that a long time ago, and I put it into practice, especially Wednesday nights, going to the prayer room. I'm just talking to the Lord. "God, I am so tired right now. I do not want to be here." You know, or "I've worked all day," or "my mind is weak right now, and I've got to preach in 30 minutes, and I can't keep my thoughts straight. But Lord," and I have seen time and again, Dad, He just came by and made it all right. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." Paul told several different churches the same message. He told the church in Corinth and the church in Thessalonia the exact same thing. In Thessalonia, he said, "But you, brothers, be not weary in well-doing." In Corinth, he said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy," oh, isn't it great to serve the Lord? He said, "we faint not. The Lord's been merciful to us." And church, I just got to be honest with you. We don't have time for idleness and sitting down by the wayside and coasting into heaven. There's some more work to do. And Sister Judy, I want to be a part of it. Amen. Oh, greater things ahead, church. Greater things ahead. One of these days, we will look back at those seasons when we were tired and weary and hurting and discouraged, and we'll say, "Oh, it was worth it. It was worth it, because where we are now is greater than any place we've ever been." I've heard the stories told before of how it was at Union Road, and my Lord help us if we ever get to that place where we really believe that the best is behind us. I've come to remind us tonight, God has some greater things in store. I believe He's got revival for our children. He's got revival for our adults and elders. He's got revival for you too. You that have experienced the great moving of the Holy Ghost, I've come to tell you tonight, He's about to let you experience that sweet touch again. I'm looking for a fresh outpour of His Spirit tonight. I'm believing for a fresh awakening in our hearts. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, I believe that season is right around the corner when the Lord's about to come back for His children. And then in due season, we are going to reap if we faint not. Oh, church, tonight I firmly believe that we must rely on our own, or rely on the strength of Jesus and not on our own abilities. If we are going to be impactful for the kingdom of God, it is not by our might, it is not by our power, but it is by His Spirit, saith the Lord. We must have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the enabling of the Holy Ghost. Man, we need God to help us. Oh, church, we need God to help us. Music, would you come? Oh, Jesus, help us tonight. Help us tonight. Oh, Jesus. Amen. When I got the news about Brother Zach, Zach's my friend, and I don't have any words for it. We just don't understand. And church, we've experienced this, and understand that you probably are never going to know. And you might be in a season in your life right now where you just don't get it. Life doesn't make sense. Doing your best, doing all you can, doing what's right, and it's still not working. Can I tell you the Lord knows right where you're at? Hallelujah. Oh, He's an all-sufficient Savior. God knows tonight. God knows. He knows how to encourage you, strengthen you, sustain you right in the midst of ministry. Revive you. Revive the burden for the lost. Revive the burden for your family. Revive the burden for the church. Revive the burden for ministry. I'm telling you, I've experienced it time and again when you get down to pray and you don't know what to say and you don't know where to go and you don't know what to do, and yet all you can do is cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me. And He comes by and restores and revives and encourages. Amen. In the midst of trials, when you feel like giving up, Jesus can help you, and He will help you. We cannot quit. It's too close to the harvest time. We can't quit. Let's stand tonight. Let's stand. Oh, help us tonight, Jesus. I want to be specific in our altar call tonight, and I do this with the utmost respect. I love this church. You guys are I'll just say it like this. This is all I've ever known, and I'm glad for that. I love this church. So Brother Bill was talking about that, being raised in Union Road. I have experienced the same thing. And the people of this church have ministered to my life so many times. But I want to talk to our elders tonight. I just felt a burden for our senior saints here. Y'all have faced hardships throughout your life that many of us may not understand. And it can be discouraging in the season that you're in. But I really felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you tonight, He's not finished with you yet. There's more to do. It gets tiring. You've paved the way for the rest of us, and I'm talking to our elders tonight, and I am so grateful. But God's not finished with you yet. He wants to use you to do a work. Sometimes it feels like, well, I don't have a place anymore. You know, time's passing by. And I tell you tonight, the Holy Spirit wants to revive that burden in your life. He's got a place for you. We'll talk to our adults for a second also. Your faithfulness is important. And your ministry matters. I pray that tonight you would seek the Lord to revive the burden for where He's placed you and what He uses you in. Amen. Amen. Young people, you've got the energy that some don't have. Don't squander it. Waste it. Sitting in a basement playing video games all day. Do something for God. Time is short. God wants to use our young people. Oh, He wants to use you guys for His glory. Say, well, what can I do for the kingdom of God? Seek Him and find out. Seek the Lord and find out. Amen. Church, I love you. Let's go on. God's got a way for us to get past the weariness. That's through His blood. That's through His calling. That's through His promises. It's through His word. Amen. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Seek the Lord. Amen. God wants to revive us tonight. Encourage us. Oh, Lord, we love you, Jesus.